the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Unless you spent most of the last week asleep or on holiday on a beach towel somewhere warmer than Victoria, Australia Day was celebrated, remembered, and indeed criticised on January the 26th. Celebrations did ensue, as did protests, and a national conversation concerning our history continues to provoke reflection on what events, values, and persons we honour as part of contemporary Australia. The winds of change blow. In our national consciousness is a gnawing moral concern with the celebration of European settlement, and thus the potential to gloss over the subsequent trauma and violence inflicted upon our First Nations peoples. This evil, which further blossomed with the forced removal of children from families, and in some cases their religious indoctrination, was perpetrated willingly and consciously, not only by our national forebears, but also by our church forebears. We are, or we should be, repentant in the face of such history. This year, protests concerning the honouring of individuals whose views are prejudiced took a curious turn. Eminent Australians honoured for their contributions to the nation are returning their honours in protest. Individuals are making the point that individual protest, individual confrontation, is an important weapon against a larger corporate or hidden evil. This past week, the Reverend Al McCrae, the former president of the Uniting Church in Australia, returned his Order of Australia in protest against the further elevation of Margaret Court's honour. He did so not simply individual to individual, as it were, but individual to a larger problem, which he correctly named as bad theology. In this morning's Gospel text from the Gospel of St. Mark, we read of Jesus' encounter with evil, not just mano et mano, although that is important, but also against a broader and more far-reaching evil. The encounter that we read about this morning follows on from Jesus' encounter with Satan the tempter in the desert, and it sets the scene for later encounters that Jesus will have with evil in Mark's Gospel. And it also serves, if we let it, to be a model for a Christian's life in seeing evil not simply as an individual affliction, temptation or curse, but also as something far larger, systemic and broad, against which we must fight and prevail. Jesus confronts evil of all kinds, great and small, right throughout his life. The evil of prejudice, that said no one of consequence could ever come from anywhere but Jerusalem, and certainly not from these backwaters of Bethlehem and Nazareth. He fought against the evil of dictators, such as Herod, a ruler of both greed and insecurity, who ordered the death of every firstborn male born around the time of Jesus' birth in order to kill the Messiah. He fought against the personal evil of temptation in the desert, where he himself was tempted to abuse the power that had been given him by God. He fought the evil of a patriarchal society, the evil of a stratified society in which the poor ever remained poor and the beggar always a beggar, the evil of ignorance, where people saw disabilities such as blindness or deafness or the inability to walk as the result of sin, or the sin of one's parents, or even the sin of one's grandparents. Such great evils. But for me at least, and maybe for you, the encounters that Jesus has with evil that we heard about in our Gospel reading this morning are perhaps the most chilling. Here, Jesus comes face to face with an evil that has inhabited a human being, and we hear that evil has pushed out and pushed aside all the glorious nature of a human being made in the image of God. Possessed by this evil, this man can do no good. In some ways, I see from week to week this evil all too often. In the lives of those who are addicted to drugs or alcohol or gambling. In the lives of those whose lives are subject to an all-engrossing greed. People whose lives have been consumed by something that has taken a hold on them. I see it too, to a lesser extent, in the lives of the vain and vainglorious, where life is reduced to social media affection or stardom. Today, Jesus is not faced, however, with an Instagram-addicted teenager. He is faced with an evil that has subsumed a man. The man is possessed by a spirit, and the nature of which we don't entirely understand. We might, in our modern time, dismiss this possession as being that of a mental illness, schizophrenia, or the like. I don't, however, think that it can be so easily understood in modern medical terms. Here we have an encounter of Jesus with a spirit that has not only taken hold of a person, but is able to speak in its own terms to Jesus standing before him. It is important to note here that, of course, Jesus is the Son of God, whose very presence provokes goodness and evil on a divine scale. Never before has the Son of God walked the earth, and both good and bad are confronted by this. More importantly is the Spirit's recognition of Jesus as the one who can destroy it, and the Spirit's own highlighting of the fact that it is only part of a larger entity. Chapter 1, verse 24. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus here is confronting a larger evil that has in part occupied a person, but also, it must be recognized, is a wider and more present evil in the broader society at large. At this juncture, I think it's important to consider where this encounter takes place in Mark's Gospel. Because here we are, less than a chapter in, and already Mark is describing this interaction between Jesus and evil, so one might readily ask the question, well, why here? Put simply, Mark places this encounter early on in his Gospel to stamp his account of Christ's life with Christ's ability to overcome evil, especially in the form of evil spirits and people possessed by them. More importantly, what is happening in this particular exchange is a prelude to the greater victory that Christ shall win over all evil, be it individualized or collective. One enormous takeaway from Mark's Gospel is the fact that nothing prevails against Jesus. Of all the temptations, of all the evils, of all the elements of human life that can warp, consume, or hobble us, Christ prevails over them all. And ultimately, of course, we see this even extend to the vanquishing of the evils that cloak Jesus' death. The prejudice, the torture, the injustice, the malice, and the violence. In Christ's resurrection is not only a conquering of death, but also God's manifest victory over evil. A victory that says to all those individuals, but more importantly, those systems of evil, the empire, the greed, the systematized violence against the poor, this is what this says. It says, you shall not have the last word. This year is the year in which we shall together read through most of Mark's Gospel, Sunday by Sunday. Mark's Gospel is typified by its haste and its brevity. It doesn't include the Nativity, for example, and its bare-bones style run to only 16 chapters. But of greater consequence, I think, is the theme of Christ's confrontation of evil that runs throughout the entire book. Time and time again, we read of Jesus confronting and overpowering evil. Not just those personal evils, but those larger systemic ones. Again, verse 24, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" evil says. And the answer to that question is yes. So as followers and disciples of Jesus, we too are called to confront not only those personal evils that assail us, but also those larger systemic evils which assail our community and our country at large. This past week has seen a confrontation against the racism and homophobia, evils which, if left unchecked, will continue to do untold damage to our brothers and sisters in Christ, of whatever race or sexuality they may be. Each of us in our daily lives, both personal and professional, have opportunities to make godly decisions against evil. Personally, in those evils which consume or threaten to consume us, and more broadly about not being a part of broader and larger systems of evil, such as racism and homophobia, corruption or stigmatization. And we do this, after all, as people who know too that Jesus is the Holy One of God. Amen.